Today, much about it and testimonies and so on. And I've got a title here which is called Multifaceted Sides to Faith. Multifaceted Sides to Faith. In other words, it means like a diamond, there's many reflections of that one diamond, reflecting all those different lights and colours and so forth. That's what that word means. And I want to reveal to you today how faith works not only corporately for the body of Christ, and our faith comes by the Word of God as we hear and read, but how faith also works personally and individually for each one of us. In other words, faith for you and faith for your brother or sister who you may be sitting next to works differently. But the end result is the same. And that's how we get this word multifaceted, sides to faith. Now, 2 Corinthians 5:7 tells us that we walk by faith and not by sight. The Apostle Paul makes that absolutely clear. When you receive Christ as your Saviour, you now walk totally by faith. And the Holy Spirit, who has quickened that faith to you and given you that gift of faith to believe in the first place, now is going to work with us so that we come to that place and that walk of faith. That is the ultimate of what the Holy Spirit's doing. As it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 5, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And there is the clue to understanding faith. So many want to walk a so-called walk of faith, but they walk it in the wisdom of men and not in the power of God. Now, the wisdom of man will indeed destroy any seed of faith that is there if you persist to walk along that walk. You will be robbed of the faith. However, if you listen with your heart to the word and what you read, then as the Apostle Paul says here, It is then the power of God. Now, why does he refer to the power of God? Well, firstly, the power of God is that same power that raised Christ from the dead, who's now raised, seated at the right hand of the Father. We begin to understand that it takes the power of God to work on your behalf to believe. And that is where we so often miss it. We are not aware with our faith that it requires and needs the power of God to work that in and through you. And therefore, when we're dealing with the power of God, we're dealing in many ways the multifaceted sides of God, which is innumerable. There's so many sides to God and how he works that there's no beginning and no end. You can't even begin to count it, how God works and how he works this in and through our lives. But we are kept by the power of God until the day of salvation. Without the power of God, we have no hope. You will only have a belief, and your belief will be in the wisdom of man, and you will end up at the end of the day simply being religious, because that is what religion does. Religion is belief in the power and wisdom of man and his idea of God. That is religion. But Christ never came to establish religion. In fact, we know clearly that God is not religious. That is the point. Christ said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except in or through me." It was religion that put Jesus to the cross. Through the scribes and the Pharisees. Religion will always crucify the risen Lord Jesus Christ, because it doesn't have the power to believe. Not God's power. It is looking to man's power and strength. And man's strength will go. Man's strength doesn't last. You're born when you're young, you have a certain amount of strength, but as you get older, that strength dissipates in your life. And you can't put your trust in that. So God has provided his power, his grace, his mercy to enable us to believe and to continue and to stay with it. And that's the wonder of all of this. And we must never forget this as we preach faith. And so we see that our faith to believe feeds off the word of God. And this is so important, because as we feed off the word of God, not only is it birthed into our heart, our spirit, and a seed is put there, and it begins to bring forth fruit. Who enables that fruit to come forth? You can't force that fruit. You can't birth that fruit. It is the power of God that will work that in and through our lives. As we humbly sit in his presence, take in his word, pray about it, take it away, so he will put that seed within our hearts that will bring forth the fruit in order for you to be able to believe and stand through those trials, through those tests, to be able to embrace and to take the promises of God. He puts the power there for it to procreate in that sense. Amen. It can only come from God. You will never get this from man's wisdom. You will never get this from religion. All of these are divisive. None of them agree. But when it comes to the faith, we all agree upon the word of God, and that is where you get true fellowship and unity and oneness. And even that oneness is preserved and kept by the power of God. This fellowship, this meeting today, our assembling together, is kept by the power of God. You remove that power and we are lost. Jesus had to believe in the power of God to raise him from the dead. As he never would have been raised. He believed in that power of his Father. He was able to commit his soul, his life, his being into the Father's hands, which he did. Because he knew the power of God, his Father, would raise him up. And it is the power of God that is going to raise us up. It is the power of God that's going to rapture the church. It is the power of God that teaches us. It is the power of God that brings forth the fruit in our lives. It is the power of God that works true fellowship and unity and oneness. All of these things I'm going to talk about. But remember this today, that your faith to believe is sustained and kept by the power of God. That very power that raised Christ from the dead, triumphed over death itself. And that is why, you see, when we go through every day our trials, our testings, our delays of faith, and we're all of us in the boat together on that, that brings the reality of faith, the reality of God, and the power of God. Every time God reveals himself to you and touches you and brings you through a trial, remember that that is the power of God working on your behalf. Thank you, Lord. Both to will and do for his good pleasure. Yeah. You see. Praise. It can't be achieved otherwise. Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Glory. The Spirit of God, that is the power of God. When it says not by might nor by power, that's talking of man's efforts. You see. There's the difference. Yeah. Man thinks he has power. Man thinks he can protect himself. Man thinks because he's created the atomic bomb, he's not now got power. Little realise as he realised that power can also destroy mankind. But that is the folly of man. That's the wisdom of man. And that is not the wisdom that you want at all. That is why faith is required for the new birth, which we call redemption. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. By faith, you become a new creation. And it's not until you believe and step out and confess, Romans 10, your new birth, you're a Christian, filled with the Holy Spirit, does the power of God begin to work on your heart, on behalf. You will never know the power of God until you step out in faith. Our Lord was trying to teach Peter that on walking on the water. You never know God's presence, God's touch, until you take that step of faith. Because that step of faith is an indication to God and the powers of darkness that you believe the word of God. Now, we can't tell you how you take those steps of faith. Sadly, at times, you know, teaching in the past and the five principles of faith have tried to tell you how to act your faith. But you can't really tell faith how to act its faith. You can only give principles, you can see guidelines of those in Scripture who stepped out in faith and believed. But ultimately, faith in you will know what to do. If faith is there and the power of God is there, then sooner or later you have to step out of that boat.
Yeah.
It's got to happen. As you have no faith, you see. And too often we have missed it because we're trying to work out how I can step out in faith here. And that's not what faith is about. If faith is present, we've taught this many, many times, faith knows what to do. If you come up for healing, laying on of hands, you know what to do if faith is present and you have received healing. You don't have to be told to throw away those tablets. You don't have to be told that you don't need to go and visit the doctor. Because if you're seeking advice on what to do, you're best to continue taking the tablets. It's as simple as that. Faith knows what to do. Why? Because it's the power of God working on your behalf. And at the end of the day, for your healing, for your deliverance, it takes the power of God in which to do it. Now, many times we have found when indeed we have the privilege to pray and lay hands upon the sick and whatever, sometimes the power of God can be so present, you feel it, it comes through by the Spirit. But either way, you don't look for that as a sign. If you want a sign, here it is, the word of God. The by stripes we were healed at Calvary. There it is. But sometimes the power of God can be seen. The power of God, sometimes his presence can be seen by light, by fire. That is not unusual at all. But God, to reveal himself to us, it requires faith. And so even in salvation, as you step out and you begin to confess, you begin to confess that you're that new creation in Christ, you suddenly become aware the power of God is beginning to work on your behalf. And you begin to find things change in your life. Your thinking, your attitude, your mind, things starting to happen. And you just begin to see little glimpses of things. Wow, gosh, that's changed. I don't do that anymore as I did before. That's a sign of the power of God revealing, working the new birth. That seed that he's implanted into your life, that he's put there. And that's why when we have that new life, our confession is, as the Apostle Paul said in Romans 1 and verse 17, which we all know very well, but we'll read, which he says here, "For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith," or his faithfulness. Now, this is very interesting here because this word that I've given, this multifaceted side of God, is in many ways indicated here. Because he says, "For in the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith." It goes on. God's righteousness, making you right, giving you that standing in his presence, which only God can do, and that's an empowerment. Wow, have you ever thought about the power of God working on your behalf to make you a new creation, to be able to stand in the presence of God who is power, and that power can destroy us and burn us up? So what power is working on our behalf to enable us to be able to stand righteous in his presence without being burnt up? Because it was the power of God that raised Christ from the dead.
Yeah.
And it is that very power that we are preserved and kept by that doesn't cause us to be burnt up in God's presence. All power is in the blood of Jesus. If we want to know where the power of God on behalf of man is given and bestowed to us, it's through the blood of the Lamb. That's why we overcome by the blood of the Lamb. And this righteousness that is revealed to us and given to us from faith to faith, it goes on. It is a revelation. It is an experience. It is a walk with God. Every day is a new walk, faith with God. And we live by that principle, who are justified. That is why we don't go by what we hear, what we see, what we touch, what we smell. We don't go by our feelings. We go by faith and what God says. Some days you get up, you don't feel you are a Christian. Anything but. But that's only feelings. It doesn't change what God says, what his word says, and what he has done in your life and my life. That is the point. That is how we overcome. Some of the greatest steps of faith in the lives of believers have been when there's been absolutely nothing as far as feelings go. At all. So we're accounted as righteous by faith. What does Romans 4 verse 3 say? For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Your faith makes you right before God. Every time you are believing, trusting in the promises of God, it makes you right before God. You are accounted as right. This is why we make much about confession. When we confess God's word, that makes you right in God's presence. Ah, but Pastor, I have sinned badly today. I have fallen so short of the faith. Get back with God. Repent. It doesn't change anything. That is the point. It is on the basis of choosing to believe, which Abraham did, that he was accounted right before God. Therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. Whatever. If you sin, repent, get back, get your confession lining back with the Word of God. Because that is your right standing with God. You have a right and access to that blessing by faith in Jesus' name. And that's why the devil's always working condemnation, trying to condemn. He doesn't want you standing right before God. Because when you stand right before God, that is the power of God working on your behalf. And he tries to rob us of God's power, which hinders our faith to believe. Sadly, at times, the devil knows more than what Christians do.
That's right.
That's the tragic point. But are we going to believe that? Are we going to believe his lies? See, we all of us have a choice. That is the question. That is the question. Hallelujah. Can something change? Thank you. By faith we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Many, many times when we pray for saints to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the speaking in tongues, which is the sign, you appropriate it by faith. And many of them expect to have a language suddenly in their mouth and to speak it. It doesn't work that way. It's as you open your mouth, it's as you begin to appropriate your voice, does the Spirit then take over and the words begin to come which you speak by the Spirit. But it's by faith. How do we know that? Because the Word of God tells us it's there for those that believe. That is the point. But that is how we receive the baptism of the Spirit. We have to appropriate our prayer life by faith. You can't pray unless you believe. And if you're not believing, then you are not going to experience the power of God to enable and help you to pray. You know, I've heard over the years so many Christians say, you know, I can walk with God, I can read the Word, but oh boy, a prayer life, that's just something else. It's hard, it's difficult. Now, I'm not going to say, you know, a prayer life is easy in that sense. Like all of this, it's a discipline. We're soldiers. We're being trained. But you start somewhere. And the point is that you meet God in your closet. You and God, I'm talking about. You will find, as you exercise that and come regularly before Him, you will find the power of God through faith is beginning to take over. And then you begin to see what this prayer life is all about, where you can begin to intercede and to supplicate and to stand in the gap and so forth, and to take on those burdens of intercession. You know, one of these things that we go through is a sign of God's power working and present, you see. That's what we're seeing. Mark 11:24. Wherefore, it's a thing you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Well, it's the believing brings the receiving. But you've got to start somewhere. And you start with the believing. No feelings, no signs, nothing. You choose to believe because it's revealed to you in the Word of God. Now, when it's manifested, is in God's timing. That you cannot force God. But I'll tell you something I have learned with Mark 11:24. It can take 24 hours and less to know whether you're in faith and you're believing that verse or not. It actually soon gives itself away. And of course, the enemy then gets in. You're restless, you're wavering, you're not sure whether God's heard, you know, all the sort of things, the doubts are just deep, deep down inside, but no, I'm in the faith, I'm standing, I'm believing, you know, and you're holding on through gritted teeth. The problem is, the power of God through faith is not present there. You have moved into the realm of man's wisdom. Your thinking, your understanding, how God's going to do it. Well, He'll do it this way, or He'll manifest me in a week's time, or you've all got it worked out. Forget it. Go right back, repent, wait on God until He brings you to that place to believe. Because Mark 11:24 is valid, is true. Wherefore, whatsoever thing you ask in prayer, believing, you receive. Without doubting, also forgiving your brother and sister. It's all in the context of that part of Scripture. You will find then the grace of God is there. God's presence is there. Yes, you may be tempted. Yes, the enemy may try and come and snatch at whatever it is. But God's power is present. That is the point. Why would Satan attack? He wouldn't bother attacking if he wasn't aware of God's power and presence there. He attacks because he sees the power and presence of God. He always gives himself away. But he comes logically to the mind. And that's how he tries to snatch that seed of faith out of your heart. He's very logical, Satan is. And he can come up with so-called wisdom. Well, yes, there's a point to that. And yes, you know, there is some logic behind that. It is common sense. But you see, God isn't into common sense. Common sense is man, the wisdom of the world. Actually, I read not so long ago, and it really convicted me, that a spirit-filled, born-again Christian should not ever deal with the word common sense. It's not in the Christian vocabulary. That's what the world uses. God is above that. God has given us wisdom, knowledge, understanding.
Yeah.
He is our sense. He is our mind. He is our knowledge. He is our all. He is above man's ways and thinking. But if you're not in faith, you're not in that place, then rely on common sense. It's got a certain validity to it. But it's not God's ultimate. He saved us for more than that. And that really spoke to me. Really spoke to me. And showed that God has a walk for us on a much higher level. How we still take substitutes. How the enemy can work in such a logical, natural way. But our minds are being renewed, are being changed. God's working on the reins of our minds and our hearts, and he steers those. And how does he do it? He does it by his power and by his might, you see. You try and analyse the Christian walk and the way God gets us to walk each day by faith, there's no common sense attached to that at all. On the contrary, we're regarded as oddballs. We're regarded as an outcast simply because we don't go the world's way. It is a higher principle, a knowledge and revelation working on our behalf, you see. So we need to understand these things that God is doing. We know also, looking at these many aspects of faith, that faith must have love as its motivation. To love one another, to love and embrace your enemy, to turn the cheek, takes the power of God to work on your behalf. You try and do it in your own strength, and you will fall short. You cannot love. Natural, unregenerate man cannot love. Love is conditional. You love those whom you've got things in common with, or so forth. You don't have to look far to go out into the world out there and see how unloving it is. So what do we do as Christians? Well, our faith, which worketh by love, is the power of God working on our behalf to even embrace our enemy and to even turn that cheek if required, or to go that extra mile. That takes the power of God. That is something that's outside my strength, naturally speaking. And it comes all on the basis of simply believing.
Amen.
That simple childlike faith makes us right in God's standing, right for faith, right for this walk, right for God's power, right in every way and form. The world may say you're wrong, but the courts of heaven says you are right. Amen. And that's why Satan attacks. Let them say what they want to say. Let them have their lies and so forth. And sadly we even find it goes on in the house of God. But leave them to God. And you get on and do what God requires of you.
Yeah.
How about our walk and life in the flesh. I mean, that's another thing, isn't it? You know? The flesh life. The cross. Well, we know it well, Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, not that I, but Christ liveth in me. Christ can only live in you by the power of God. Even the cross that we take up daily and follow him, which we're to do, at the end of the day, is the power of God. Unless you are experiencing death and resurrection through that cross you're to take up daily, then it's not going to work. Now, God has a way of bringing us to the end of ourselves. We're all in this walk, and we're all in areas in faith where he's bringing us to the end of ourselves. He might be doing it through a physical trial. He might be doing it through a trial in a relationship or in a marriage. Or he might be doing it through work. Or he might be doing it through finances. Or he might be doing it in numerous ways. Those trials you are going through and have been going through for the last 20 years or 30 years, and I know some of you have been, and woe to those who point the finger, why is it taking so long for them? God knows. They're the mysteries of God. But the fact is, while we still have life and breath, and we can still say amen, and we're here embracing God's word, let God be God and all men liars. For God knows what he's doing with each of us.
Right.
And we've had to learn a big, big lesson that Rome wasn't built in a day, which we all thought it would be. But the point I'm making is that your trial or trials you are going through is bringing you to the end of yourself, that the power of God will take over, which we call the death to the self life. That is the deeper life that we teach. And the Holy Spirit is getting each of us fundamentally, get out of the way. You are the hindrance. I will not work, I will not do a thing till you totally and completely let go. How often have we seen that principle? How do you, you see it through the word of God from Genesis to Revelation? God works with saints until they finally let go, all hands off. Then God will take over. Why doesn't God want us touching? Because his presence is holy. His power is all-consuming. And if he's going to deliver you, and he's going to bless you, and he's going to bring you through, and he's going to heal you, and he's going to raise you up, it is his power, it is his presence, and you cannot touch the holiness of God. This is, of course, where we get the idea of the holiest of holies. Only one was able to go in to that presence, and that was the high priest. God was teaching Israel something, that he is most holy, you cannot touch. And if you did touch, then you were even separated, sanctified, and made holy. God is ever working, was ever working with Israel, all the saints. Don't touch God's holiness, which is his presence, his power. And he's working the death life in us so that we let go, so then God can take over. So then he can, in other words, it's his presence that takes over. His holiness, him, takes over. Whether it's in your healing, whether it's in restoration of your marriage, or whatever it is, the trial you're going through. It's the presence and the power of God, appropriated by faith, that will raise us up, the same that it raised up Christ from the dead. Christ even had to let go on the cross. All the while he held on to his spirit, the holy presence of God could not raise him up. Because he took in his flesh the punishment, the guilt of our sin. He had to let all of that go. And what did he say in the end? Father, into thy spirit I commit my hand. He has finally said, I give up the ghost. I let go. I'm at the end of myself. Then the power of God raised him from the dead.
Amen.
And that is the same divine principle that works in your life and my life. That is why we're like sheep daily that go to the slaughter. He's ever bringing us to the end of ourselves. He's dealing with the flesh life. He's dealing with pride. He's dealing with unbelief. All those things. So that we finally in the end say, we drop to our knees. I can't take any more. I'm at the end of myself. Just like the trial I was going through with my tooth. I said, I'm at the end, Lord. I can't take any more. That was the point God could take over. Because it either was going to be the power of God to heal me or it wasn't. It's as simple as that. You see? And that's how he works, brothers and sisters. And all of it is because we hold on, we believe that God will never separate us from his love. That is why faith worketh by love. That is its driving force. God's love is power. It's all-consuming, his love. How about Ephesians 6 verse 16, which speaks about putting on the whole armour of God, our spiritual warfare. You and I, brothers and sisters, we cannot fight against the powers of darkness unless the power of God is on our behalf. The children of Israel had to learn a divine principle. Never to go into battle until they had seen the angel of the Lord. When God would manifest himself in whatever way or form, where he would give the okay to go in to battle, they must never move until God's presence, God's power was with them. And he was teaching them that principle for 40 years. Sometimes they got it, sometimes they didn't. And when they didn't, there was a big onslaught. Thousands were slaughtered by the enemy. God was trying to teach them something. You cannot overcome in your own strength, in your own power, your own wisdom, your own might. You can't. You can't do it. This is why you see today so much in churches just is not working. They're trying evangelism, trying all different ideas. Trying to convert the world. But it's doing it in its own strength. Own wisdom and understanding. That's why it doesn't work. And that's why a lot of the conversions are not permanent. It's froth and bubble. There's no depth to it. This is why there's such little depth to be found in the Christian church today. It's such surface. Because it's man in his religious state of mind trying to do these things, and you can't do it. It's not until we come to the end of ourselves, it's not until we relinquish, we give it up, and we wait upon God, then the Holy Spirit, he will bring that quickening, that revival, everything that is needed in order to glorify his name. Can't be done otherwise. But you know, to teach this principle, whoa, I think my brother over there will agree with me, that's the biggest battle we face in ministry, is to try and show Christians that it's in the giving up, the surrendering, and letting God take over the power of God to glorify his name. That can be the biggest battle. But God knows. God knows. We're not encountering anything new. All the early Christians, the disciple Jesus himself, faced that same principle, you see. And so because man is trying to conjure up revivals and all this sort of thing, that's why there's no faith there. It's a faith that's in the wisdom of religious man. And that's why very little happens. No signs that follow of healing, deliverance, salvation. Thank God there are some signs, healings, yes. And we praise God for that. There's nothing really to what we're being restored to, what should be. And then we're just going back to the times of the Acts of the Apostles. And yet we're told there's going to come a latter rain. Then we're told, looking at these different aspects of faith, that faith will save the sick. James 5:15. This is why we pray one for another. We lay hands on one another. But we do it in believing. Now, many Christians, sadly, are calling the elders to pray over them because they believe that that elder or pastor or teacher, they're the ones that have the faith. And so they're pushing their responsibility over onto the person who's praying for them. But that's not what the scripture teaches us and shows us. When we lay hands upon a person who is sick, all we are doing is agreeing in faith for the person who is also or should be believing. Who's in faith. And yet sometimes you know, and I've had this, I've experienced it where I pray and I think, no, this isn't going to happen because they're looking to me for the faith and they're not looking to God. So you have to stop. There's no point laying hands on them. That doesn't edify, that doesn't glorify God. You've got to get them back into the Word of God. Or sometimes you've got to say, hang on, I know it's hurting, but keep coming, listen to the word, and you'll get your healing. And sometimes they'll listen to that, and sometimes they won't. And those that won't will go and find some other preacher, teacher, and see if they've got faith so that they can lay hands on them. And you've got Christendom filled with that, and meetings filled with that. That's why you see the same people going up with the same complaints for the same prayer over the years, never getting healed. Faith will save the sick. Why? Because it is the power of God that brings that healing. And there is the difference. We know that faith feeds off trials. What does Paul say about this in Romans 5 verses 1 to 5? We speak much about trials, but here we see how faith rises up through the trials. It says in Romans 5 verses 1 to 5, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have access by faith into his grace, in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So it's poured out to us, given to us. We're empowered for this. Brothers and sisters, if you are walking with Christ, you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, you have been empowered for this walk to receive God's blessings, God's promises, God Himself. We have received the power of God through the Godhead who dwells, resides in us now. How we have limited God. Now you see, many want this power today in revivals. But of course we know this power, which we have, is free, but not cheap. Because this power comes as we also take up our cross. As we get out of the way. Otherwise God isn't going to empower us. He didn't empower us. Because we'll be starting to call down fire upon our enemies. And Christians don't have enemies. Yes, you heard me right. Christians don't have enemies. The only enemy you have is the devil. and demons.
Yeah.
But in this world, human beings, we don't have enemies. We have enemies in the sense that they don't like us, but we are not enemies to them. Through resentment, unforgiveness. As far as I am concerned, on my side, I am a peacemaker. How they feel toward us is up to them, is different. That is the point. First Timothy 3:9 tells us that this faith we've been talking about is a mystery. And thank God it is a mystery. And God has kept it shrouded, God has kept it a mystery, so that natural man can't understand it. And after all these years, we're still learning, aren't we? Here we are today, still having another teaching on faith. And how many faith teachings have we taught in the assembly? I've lost count. Literally hundreds. But why? Why are we still being taught today faith? Because faith still at the end of the day is a mystery. We still have so much to learn. And without faith, you cannot please God, Hebrews 11:6. So there we are. I have just today covered a little bit of these multifaceted sides to faith, which is numerous. It's like that diamond, that precious diamond with light that shines through it, and all these different reflections and colours coming out from that one diamond. That's why faith is beautiful,
yeah.
Motivated by love. Amen.
Amen.
Father, we thank you again. We bless you for your love and grace and mercy. We thank you, Father, that we are still learning. We're still learning this faith walk. But Lord, we thank you that we are empowered for this, saved for this. We have your presence residing, living in each one of us. And each day is a faith walk. And in that walk, we can meet you. And we have the opportunities to step out in faith. Lord, I believe each day we have more opportunities shown us than we actually realize. Oh, Father, quicken it to us again. If reviving is needed, then revive, Lord. So that we can start to hear these testimonies coming up where we saw a step of faith presented to us this day and stepped out and simply believed with that childlike faith. This is where it's going to happen and is happening. Father, forgive us when we allow fear, which will cause us to turn the other way and ignore or pretend. Forgive us, Father, when we talk about faith, but we're not really walking by faith. Therefore, that makes us hypocrites. Lord, our desire is to be not only hearers, but doers of the Word of God. And whatever it takes, Lord, please work that in and through us. And we believe that, Father, because the power of God is working on our behalf. Thank you for this teaching today. And my prayer is that it will produce and bring forth much fruit and for the building of the body of Christ, in Jesus' name.
Till it finds fulfillment in the eye. Rushes onward ever growing till it finds fulfillment in the arms of the sea. So I worship and adore you, lay my whole life down before you, and cradled in the love of Jesus I'll find security. And Jesus is